All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. Last time in our study through this blessed book, we considered a man named Enoch. A man that the scripture says walked with God. And as we considered this man, we saw where Enoch actually first is an example of every believer. Every believer. Chosen of God, called of God, taught of God, guided, walks with God. How is that? He agrees with God. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Every believer agrees with God. Every believer agrees with God about himself. Every believer believes God concerning the glory of God the Father to choose a people. We believe that. We agree with him. Every believer believes that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for the sheep. Every believer believes that he finished the work. There's nothing for us to do. What does a believer do? He believes God. That's what he does. He believes the Lord. He's in agreement with the Lord. He communes with the Lord. He walks with God. Well, does that mean he's sinless? No, you know better than that. He's not sinless. If we say that we're without sin, we make God a liar. So every believer believes that he's got two natures. He believes that there's a struggle that goes on. He believes that he's got to be kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last day. But he believes that the Lord's going to keep him. He believes that. He knows he can't keep himself. He knows that his righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. He believes that. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. But Enoch was especially a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, who walked on this earth. He was holy, and he knew no sin, but as a man, God Almighty and man, and not half and half, totally God, totally man, the mediator, the one who can touch both parties and reconciles the parties, the advocate himself. He walked by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And as our absolute federal head, he who represented us before God, he walked as a man by faith. Now, this, it sounds so simple to say it, Mitch, but and all of us here know in our hearts, he was God. I know that. But he was man. He was a man. He was in all points touched with the feelings of our infirmities and had no sin. And he believed his, in that garden, he was praying, Father, if this cup can pass from me, what cup was that? He was going to be made sin. This is the only way that he could redeem his people. He's going to have to take, he's going to have to become what they are. And God the Father made him sin. who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And he cried and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He trusted his God. He said, you upheld me. You delivered me. The Father's kept me. We can't enter into the depth of this, but this is, Enoch was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pleased his Father. Enoch had this record. He pleased God. Now, how do we please God? We please God by believing on his Son. This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. You hear him. And as we have God-given faith to believe, we in Christ, we please God in him. We please him. And our faith is, it's not perfect faith. Lord, I believe, help mine unbelief. Oh, ye of little faith. Our faith. He said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say this mountain be moved. I don't see anybody moving a mountain. But he, by faith, he pleased his Father on his own merit. We please the Father on the merit of another, on his merit. He pleased his Father. And his Father acknowledged him twice. As I just said, once at his baptism, once on the Mount of Transfiguration. This is my beloved Son. Well pleased. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. That's what he did. He came into this world. He was sent. We've been commissioned. As I said a moment ago, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You do what you can. Do what you can. That's what that woman had, that alabaster box, a precious ointment, spikenard. Took that ointment, anointed his feet. Disciples reprimanded her. The Lord said, you leave her alone. She's done what she could. That's what we're here to, that's what we do. We do what we can. Do what we can and ask the Lord to bless it. But I tell you what he did. He did always. Always. Those things that pleased his Father. He preached the kingdom. And he was taken up into heaven. Enoch was taken. He was not. God took him. And our Lord was taken up. He was taken up into heaven. Up there on that mount. And he was taken up, the scripture says. And he's coming back just exactly like that. And now, right now, we have a great high priest, whoever liveth, to make intercession for us. Well, I guess I better get in the message here. So that was in my notes here. The scripture says in verse 25, Genesis chapter 5, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Now, Methuselah. The name Methuselah, it means man of the dart. I may have mentioned that to you last time. That's what his word means, man of the dart. John Gill, who, and many of the writers wrote basically the same thing, but Mr. Gill wrote that Enoch gave under the inspiration, Lamech, Enoch. Enoch was Methuselah's daddy. And under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he gave his son the name Methuselah. Methuselah, man of the dart. And that name, most believe, was a name given by inspiration that would signify when he would die and the year in which he died was the year of the flood. Now there's some men that have have looked at it, looked at the ages, and I did not find one writer that didn't say this right here. In the year of the flood was the year that Methuselah died, but signifying by his name that God was going to send forth the waters of judgment upon the earth. This man right here, the man of the dart, man of God's dart, man of God's justice and judgment upon the earth. And that was Methuselah's legacy. He was a man that lived the longest on the earth, but his name was saying something. God's going to send judgment. God is going to send judgment. And if indeed Methuselah's name was given, and I see no reason to think why it wasn't. That's what his name meant. Man of the dart. Given to signify the time of God's judgment upon the earth and its destruction by water, then that meant God's word is sure. Now, the flood's not revealed until chapter 6. Lord willing, we'll start in that next time. But we must conclude something of the fairness of God with men. God, he was honest. God's just. He's honest. God who cannot lie. When that man Methuselah was born and lived 969 years, his name means man of the dart. Something's coming. There's going to be judgment is going to come. Then here we conclude something. That men are without excuse because they've been given warning. Here was some men, there were some patriarchs that we looked at last time. Some names of some men, some patriarchs. And the witness of those patriarchs, Adam, who lived 930 years. And all these men, their age, they overlapped. And like I said, many of these men, they knew each other. They were around. And here was Adam and Adam's testimony. First-hand account. You talk about first-hand account of the fall. Adam was in the fall. And him telling, God clothed me and my wife. We'd taken fig leaves. And God took those fig leaves. There was a covering of our provision. And God took that away. And he killed an animal and covered us with skin. And he was teaching, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness of sin. And Adam, I mean, that was a witness right there. They had the witness of nature. Nature declares the handiwork of God. And even man's conscience after the fall. Every man, every woman is born with a conscience, not able to convert. But every man, every woman is their conscience, the scripture says, is a law unto themselves. What does that mean? They know right from wrong. They know right. You know if it's wrong. You know if it's right. It's the right thing. So men, before these scriptures were ever written, men had a witness. And Methuselah was a witness. Now, if men were without excuse then, they had the law of nature, they had the conscience, they had these patriarchs that told them. How about now? They were given warning by a man's name. What is your name? Methuselah. That means man of the dart. That means judgment. If they were given warning by a man's name, how much more? We have the revelation of God in the scriptures that this world is not going to last forever. The scriptures declare that the Lord is coming back in judgment upon the wicked to receive his own unto himself. But listen, this world, everybody in this world, nobody is without excuse. Nobody. We've got the witnesses, we've got the conscience, we've got nature, but we got this book. Now this book, I know the world thinks nothing of this. They say they do, but they don't. We've got the Word of God that has been preserved in this book right here. And what if this book says, this is the way it is. Listen to this. They had Methuselah's name. Here's what we got. 2 Peter 3:10 and 12. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Now this is the way it's going to be. This is what's going to happen. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, that is in walk and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So the scripture says, verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech, verse 26, 782 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. You know, it's an amazing thing to me to behold the length of time that Methuselah lived. The man whose name declared impending judgment is coming upon men because of sin. And the Lord of glory willed and purposed that Methuselah's life would be the longest of any man recorded in this book. And he died. God's long suffering, God's mercy to his people. There was one man whose name meant judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And God allowed him to live the longest to express to this world, God is a just God. So we're reminded he lived the longest, 969 years, and he died. Certainty of death is expressed to all men. Now the Lord may be pleased to allow one to live a little bit longer than another, but it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Verses 28 to 32. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, there's one thing that we've got to remember, as I've mentioned numerous times in these verses, that we read them a lot of times it's like it's always chronological order, and there is an order to it, but in reality, as I've said before, remember there's an overlap always of their lives. Lamech means powerful. Lamech was the son of Methuselah. And Lamech's grandfather then was Enoch. And so there's these men, these overlapping, and you know, and though we're told in verse 27 that Methuselah died, he didn't actually die until the flood. And so there's a lot happening with these patriarchs, and they lived in the same time. They knew each other. These, you know, like I said, Enoch, Methuselah, and then Lamech. Lamech's grandfather, Enoch. He knew his grandfather. He knew, so men that have studied and calculated all these ages and patriarchs of they're recorded in scripture. Methuselah now was born in the 687th year of Adam's life. And again, I told you Adam lived 930. So there's teaching, there's instruction, there's firsthand information. That's before this book was written. So though, as I touched on before, the mercy of God is shown to have left some men on this earth, some men and some women. Doesn't mention the women, which mentions the men, but their wives were here, and they left, the Lord left them on this earth to be a first-hand accounts of God's dealings. And though there was no scriptures, that until the Lord moved on Moses to pen this book. And again, I had just looked this up. I'd find out. I'd look and look and look and find out how old was he? Who? When did he come on? And where was this? I think I told you last time. Moses was approximately 2,500 years after Adam's creation. 2,500 years. Well, look at how long Methuselah was. Almost 1,000 years old, you know, before Moses got here. But for 2,500 years. But God preserved the truth of this. And under the inspiration of God, when Moses penned this book, he wrote, and the scripture says concerning the Lord, speaking of Moses, the Lord said, "He wrote of me. He wrote of me." God moved on this man, truly inspired by the Spirit of God, to pin these things down for us. And you can rest assured, all scripture given by inspiration of God. Somebody say, well, yeah, Moses came on 2,500 years after Adam was created. How do we know? God said that all scripture is God breathed. And God, who cannot lie, moved on Moses to write these things down. But God allowed these men to live so many years as first-hand accounts. That's the point. And they spoke this truth. They spoke it out of their mouths. God was pleased to use the mouths of men as the means of maintaining an accurate record. Even then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And men would speak. These men that God, that were in the lineage, the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God kept them. God kept them. How did they maintain this? God kept them. God kept them. These are our brethren right here. And so in these latter verses here, I'm going to wrap this up. And we have the first mention of this man, Noah. And I've been trying to study ahead, and Lord willing, getting ready for next time we do this. I'll go into chapter 6, and getting into this 6th chapter, I've just been so thrilled and encouraged by this. But this man Noah, we're going to learn something. I mean, you think about the scripture says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be, the second coming of Christ. So I want to know, how were the days of Noah? So we, Lord willing, we'll start looking at that. But here we have the first mention of this man, Noah. Now, Lamech is Noah's daddy. Lamech was Methuselah's son, and Methuselah, you know, was Enoch's son. So here's the great grandson of Enoch. His name is Noah. And his name means rest or comfort. Rest or comfort. Herein we see a picture of our blessed Lord. God moved on his daddy to name his son Noah, rest or comfort. And it says something like that. He says in verse 29, he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Now, Lamech, Noah's daddy, he beheld the effect of sin. He knew why the earth was the way it was, the toil that they went through. He knew what had happened in the garden. How? It had a record. Look, Adam was still alive. He knew what happened in the garden. You think Adam was aware of what happened in the garden? Yeah, he knew what happened in the garden. God told him what happened. And so here's Lamech, and he names his son Noah, rest and comfort, as a picture of the significance of the Lord's purpose to send his son into this world to be the redeemer, the rest and the comfort of God's people. So I don't know the depth of what Lamech knew, but I know that he knew something of the Messiah's coming. He knew something. He knew that the Lord was going to come. He knew that the earth was cursed because of Adam's disobedience to God. And he knew that God was going to send the relief, his blessed son. So here's Noah. And we'll see this much, much clearer, even than what's being said right here, when the Lord instructs him to build an ark. And Noah, it was a type and a shadow of the promised seed, the Savior, the restorer of his people. And we're going to consider that to show where Noah, being a picture of Christ, was going to be in that building of that ark, and the, you know, Noah and his family going in with all those animals, that the only safety that was going to be found for under the wrath of God was going to be in the Redeemer, in the Christ, in the haven of rest, the city of refuge, in the picture of being found in that ark, preserved and kept from the fury of God's curse. And so here's Noah as a picture of the Redeemer, set forth the glorious Messiah. And Lamech said, I'm going to name him Noah. Rest and comfort. This is going to be the type. We're going to see it. And oh, will we ever see it. When Noah starts building that ark. And people, you know, mock him, you know. But he's going to comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. So the Lord has been pleased to reveal unto his people, even here, he's telling them, judgment's coming. How do you know, Methuselah? But we're going to have some comfort. We're going to have some safety. How do you know? Noah. And so the Lord has been pleased to give his people a promise of hope. And as all of us have seen, all of these men and all these promises, they died. The wages of sin is death. But God's going to save his people from their sins. And now here's Noah. And the scripture says, that last verse, Noah, 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know, I was looking at this and studying this, the significance of their names, how they're listed, is so beautiful. Noah was 500 years old when he had Shem, Ham, Japheth. And Japheth was the oldest. Take your Bible. I want you to see this as I wrap this up. Genesis chapter 10. All right, it said he had these three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now look at Genesis chapter 10, verse 21. It says, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. Even to him were children born. So who was the oldest of the three boys? Japheth. It was unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. So here's the thing. Japheth was the oldest. Ham was the youngest, the one cursed of God because of his disrespect to his father. Look at Genesis chapter 9. Japheth is the oldest. Ham is the youngest, Genesis 9, 18 to 24. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. So everybody came from these three boys right here. And Noah began to be an husbandman, planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. He was uncovered within his tent, and Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. So Japheth is the oldest. Ham is the youngest of the three. And Shem, therefore, was the middle of the three. He was the middle of the three. But Shem is spoken of first by the Spirit of God, because of his place by God's good providence in the bloodline of Christ. It was Shem. Shem. Genesis 9:26, so we were just there, should have made you stay there. Genesis 9:26 says this, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So the one that was in the bloodline of the Lord Jesus Christ between these three boys was Shem. So God moved upon Moses to put his name first. Noah had three boys. Japheth was the oldest. Ham was the youngest. Shem was the middle. But God blessed Shem. And so the Spirit of God told him, he said, when you write the names of Noah down, you put Shem's name first. And that's what he did. What an amazing passage of scripture. 1600 years approximately of concerning the miracle of God's grace, summed up in 32 verses of scripture in the fifth chapter. And are we not again reminded ever of the frailty and the shortness of man upon this world? Somebody said, shortness? 969 years? 930 years? I read back again just to look at it again. But listen how the scripture sets forth. It says over and over and over. The scripture says, verse 5 of chapter 5, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. All the days that he lived, 930 years. Verse 8, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11, all the days of Enos were 905 years, and his death. Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. We're here but a little while. This is just a vapor. And this is all going to be over. And the Lord's coming back. The Lord's going to come back. He's going to receive his own unto himself. God's going to have judgment upon the wicked. And that's been the message of this book since it was written, since it was written down. But this is the message of this book before it was written down. God maintained it. What a God we have. Who is a God like unto thee? Who is a God like unto our God? I pray the Lord bless this to his glory and our good. Amen. All right.